It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Swat at it, couldn't get it in. In front of the net, scores! A bank shot off the netminder! And the Oilers are up 5-4!
Well, a weird one. A key goal in a wild game at Rogers Place tonight. The Edmonton Oilers outscore the Anaheim Ducks 6-5. That was a goal by Evan Bouchard that made it 5-4 Oilers with 9:30 to go in the third. He was behind the icing line, one hand on the stick, just tapped the puck toward the net, and Anthony Stolarz, with his skate just a little bit away from the post, ticks off the skate, goes in. Draisaitl got an empty netter. Shattenkirk got one with 17 seconds left. So 6-5 Edmonton is your final. They are 3-0, Rob Brown, despite perhaps some corrections the coaching staff will want to make after this game.
Yeah, there was if they watch the video and they write down things that they want to correct, there would be a couple pages worth of mistakes. This was a sloppy game. The Oilers, a lot of misreads that turned into odd man breaks. Anaheim isn't the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Pittsburgh Penguins with a star-studded lineup that can create something out of nothing. This is a team that thrives on mistakes, and they did that over and over again tonight because the Oilers afforded them the opportunities and a number of odd man breaks. The Oilers got caught in their own zone too many times just with bad reads, bad breakouts. Having said that, the Oilers did enough to get the win. Their first line was very good. Draisaitl, a fantastic night, 4 points, and he took 29 faceoffs on the night, and he was 70% in faceoffs. So he was excellent. And the Oilers' third line, the line of Cassian, Fogle, and Derek Ryan, also very good. So there are some very good things that happened in tonight's game. Having said that, if it was not for some big saves by Koskinen down the stretch, this thing could have been extended and gone into overtime.
Well, and that's another story, and we'll go to Dave Tippett when he starts speaking to get an update on Mike Smith, who left the game after allowing 4 goals on 15 shots, but he didn't leave the game right after allowing the fourth goal. He made another save, and it was about a minute 30 after the fourth goal went in during a TV timeout. He left the game. So the Oilers with 6 tonight. That means the Japanese Village goal light is on 630ched.com. Whenever the Oilers score 5 or more in a game, you can print up a coupon for a free appetizer to Japanese Village. Try the legendary Wagyu steak cooked before your eyes. Reserve now at jvedmonton.ca. But Koskinen does come in, his first appearance for the season. He stopped 20 out of 21. And a really big one on Henrique about 30 seconds before Draisaitl got the empty net goal. He got a little help from McDavid, who pulled one right off the goal line as the puck had sort of bounced in from behind the net and got into the crease. But all told, Koskinen in a game, you know, obviously the backup goalie never really expects to play. They always say they're ready, but they often aren't expecting to play. He does a pretty good job.
Well, and it was a weird way for him to go in. A backup goaltender, at a certain point in the game, if a goal goes in, they think, okay, this one might get me into the game. But that didn't happen, as Smith wasn't pulled after a goal. And you didn't see some big collision where all of a sudden the goalie's getting prepared. We saw earlier Anaheim's goaltender was down for a while and Gibson was warming up on the bench. So this was one that probably surprised the Oilers bench and certainly surprised Koskinen. And he came in and he was excellent. Had to be in the third period. As you said, Draisaitl scored the empty net goal. But before that, there was two chances that Anaheim had in front of the net. And there was one where Koskinen used every inch. What is he, 6'6", 6'7"? But he used every inch of his body to get his toe on the puck as it was going to slide past him. He was good. The only trouble he got into tonight, and that you referenced, was when McDavid pulled it off the goal line. That was Koskinen trying to play the puck behind the net. That is not his strength.
Yeah, he's not Mike Smith when it comes to that. But the Oilers do pull it out 6-5, so that means a $600 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous. They're given $100 for every Oilers goal, so the total donated now by James H. Brown and Associates, unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results, is up to $1,400 three games into the season. And I to me, Rob, it's a game you look at and say both teams made plays. I mean, as much as there might be some Oilers where we say, huh, I don't know about that game, but almost everybody made a good play at some point, and there are always mistakes. But to me, it was big mistakes tonight. You know, big giveaways, big misreads. I mean, there will always be mistakes in a game. It's never perfect. Well, the other team, you know, Ducks, the Ducks played hard. But when the Oilers made mistakes, they were pretty large tonight.
Well, they were, and that's where we talk about the fact that, you know, you don't have a Kucherov and a Stamkos or a Crosby and a Malkin or an Ovechkin that are making you look silly by beating you. Tonight, the Anaheim Ducks got their big chances by just capitalizing on a mistake that the Edmonton Oilers made, and we'll probably hear Dave Tippett talk about that.
Some stuff leading up to it that maybe you're worried about a bit.
No, it's like there's ebbs and flows of games. There's things you do well, things you got to clean up, but in the end, I'm glad we found a way to win. It was kind of a sloppy game that we find a way to capitalize on a couple chances. We drew some penalties, helped us. So it's, we can't all be masterpieces. They can't all be things that coach walks out and say, oh boy, that was great. It was good. We found a way to get 2 points. That's a good thing going on the road.
Zach isn't necessarily paid to score goals. It's nice to see him get on the board. Especially he's been through some, you know, a couple of tough spots. That whole line was really.
Yeah, that line's been good again. They were good again. Zach's getting rewarded with a little bit of power play time there at the end, and he's around the net. The line has been real good, been really good for us. So going on the road, hopefully they can continue that.
I know it's still really early here, but do you have any sense on the severity of Mike Smith's situation?
I think it's going to be day-to-day. He just tweaked something that he didn't want to hurt any worse, so lower body injury day-to-day would be, and we'll see where he is tomorrow. But, you know, we got back-to-back coming up. We'll see what happens tomorrow. He's going to see a doctor in the morning, I think, just to check things out.
But potentially looking at maybe needing another goalie later in the week, like...
Yeah, we won't know that till the morning, I don't think.
Just with Evan Bouchard, I mean, the types of situations that you're putting him in there late in games, killing penalties, the defensive side of his game, what are you seeing here in the first few games?
He's a solid player, smart player, reads situations well, usually executes pretty well, calm with the puck, engaged in the physical battles, which is the biggest part of his maturity is his game. Is he's not running anybody over. He's just using his body well, using body position to box people out, things like that, to hold pucks. He's a good player.
Dave, the first 30 minutes really was probably the area where it was the most loose. Then you tighten up. I know they got the late goal, the extra attacker, but what was the biggest change for maybe the first 30 to the last 30 you saw from your team defensively?
Well, we weren't turning the puck over as much to allow them as much time there. Our power play gave us a little bit of momentum, and then we, you know, they played last night. They play, they were, the neutral zone play a real passive game in there. If you turn the puck over, they've got good skill that they can make you pay, and we did that a couple times early in the game. And, you know, once you start recognizing how you have to play, you can play a little better.
You switched a few guys. You moved Bouchard up and Barry down, and then Perlini up and Yamamoto down. Is that just getting a jump, or you just weren't seeing what you wanted from some guys?
Probably a little of both. Just change it up. Just looking for a spark in a game where you need it.
Hey, Dave. Mikko Koskinen, obviously, for his first appearance, a kind of a tough spot for him to come in halfway through a game. What did you see from him tonight?
Solid. Really solid. Yeah, really solid. It was... moving well, made some good saves for us. A couple in tight there were good, so it's a good start for him.
Yeah, especially with the kind of the uncertainty with Smith's injury, is that kind of a, maybe a confidence booster for him and for you guys as a coaching staff?
Well, I think, you know, he's been good all camp. He's been very good. So we talked about putting Koskinen tonight to start this one, and Schmidty's played two real strong games. We were going to see if we could close out our homestand with 3-0. So we went with Schmidty again. Unfortunately, he couldn't finish, and Koski came in and got us a win. So it's we've liked both guys all through camp. All, like I said, in camp, all four guys. And now Skinner's gone down there and played very well too. So we're certainly comfortable with the goaltending.
Dave, we're only three games into this thing, but there seems to be a real likability factor at play with the veteran guys and the new guys coming in and the Puljujärvis and everything like that. Can you speak to that?
Well, I think it speaks to the growth of our team. And, you know, our leadership core is another year older now and another year of experience, how to carry themselves in that dressing room and consistently play. And our group is, we've talked about that since the start of camp, we have to be a good, consistent team. And you might have ebbs and flows in a game, but we understand how we're going to play. The new guys will come in and really kind of balance that. We've got the new guys, for the most part, are veteran guys. They're playing in key situations a lot of time. They give the other guys confidence. And then you add in the growth of our young players. You know, look at Puljujärvi and Bush. I mean, that's good, strong growth from young guys that are playing key minutes for us. So all in all, you when you win, you start to build a confidence. Now, that being said, there's things every game we talk about that we've got to do better. And there's things that we like about our game, too. So it's a good group. When you win, you have that a little bit of confidence, but it's also everybody recognizes it's early, and we've got a lot of learning to do yet before we're through here.
You've been part of some teams that have a lot of personality, not much personality, coach teams in both. There seems to be, a lot of characters and different individuals that are...
You know what there is, Terry? It's a real good camaraderie with the group. Like, they like each other. They pull for each other. And even when, you know, you got guys that maybe haven't scored in a while or block a shot, there's an enthusiasm for them. And even when a guy does well or a guy does, you know, maybe has a tough night, there's guys there helping, picking them up. You know, so that's I like our group's mentality that way. We're a close group, and it's early. To have a close group early in the year, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We can only build from there. So it's, like I say, there's some real positive things going on, but we got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do.
And one last question. You are planning to keep your team in Vegas for 2 days after. Do you have an itinerary laid out for them, or are you just pointing them at the... bright lights?
No, we have a bit of an itinerary.
Can you reveal?
Harry, when you were a young man, you wanted to go to Vegas for a couple days too, I'm sure. Still does, yeah. No, you know what, I mentioned it this morning, where Ken and I both like to get the team away in training camp if we can. This year, you know, timing-wise, didn't work for us, and with not playing until next Wednesday, we'll have a chance to... just have a team meal down there and have a little team bonding stuff, and hopefully it'll be good for the guys.
Dave, just in the back here, I know you talked about the Zach Cassian line, but speaking to Cassian's game right now, I know it's a short sample size, two games. What areas of the game is he influencing differently as opposed to last year?
You know what? He's playing as a power forward. He's healthy. He feels good. And playing as a power forward, that line has a real... they feel like they have a real role on our team. Play hard down low, momentum, get pucks going to the net, and you know, they've had some early success with it that's driven some of the energy for our group. So they've kind of taken an identity for our team that they don't want to let anybody down, and Cass is in that group. So Fogel's played well, Ryan's played well, and Cass has all played well, and they've played well together on a line. So it's good to see. It's early, but it's good to see.
I'm not sure how many minutes were in this availability, but we haven't asked you about your top line. They combined for 9 points. What did you see from 29-97 and 13 tonight?
They were opportunistic tonight. Yeah, they jumped on some opportunities. Connor's first goal is, you know, that's, there's not many guys with that speed that can make that happen. So it's, there was just, they capitalized on their opportunities, which we needed. All right.
That is Oilers head coach Dave Tippett live on 630 CHED as the Oilers beat Anaheim 6-5. As he said, they can't all be masterpieces, but they'll bank the 2 points to get to 3-0 on the season. So Mike Smith tweaked something in the second period, day-to-day lower body. He'll get looked at tomorrow, and they'll just go from there to see if he's going to play on the road trip or they got to bring Skinner up. We'll just have to wait and see what happens with that for the time being. Rob, and he touched on, and I think we want to revisit this point too, about the third line of Fogel, Cassian, and Ryan. You know, getting on the score sheet. I know the second Cassian goal was on the power play, and actually his first goal was partway through a change because it was Nugent Hopkins still on the ice. Ryan hadn't come on yet, but still, they get zone time. A couple sequences where just Cassian or Fogel are down low behind the net and just cramming the puck into the crease. You know, Ryan just missed a tap and goal in the first period with the rebound of one of those types of plays coming off of Stoller's pads.
Well, they are a prototypical third line. This is what coaches want, is a third line that can play big, can eat up minutes in the offensive zone, tire the other team down, play a heavy game, play a simple game. Unfortunately, most teams don't have the personnel to be able to put that kind of line together. Well, the Oilers finally do. And what is good about this line is they all have the exact same mindset when they play. Get pucks in deep, take pucks to the net. Cassian gets it below the goal line. You know he's going to try and drive the net or he's going to throw the puck on the net. And that allows Fogel and Ryan to be in the right spot. There's no guesswork. There's no hesitation amongst the other two players when one guy has the puck because they know where it's going to be. And we talked about it in the preseason, how many times at the whistle there would be all three players, three or four of the opposition players and the goaltender all piled up on top of each other. That's the way they play, and they are excelling at it because they understand it. And they're fun to watch. And to me, this is two of the three games they've been the difference in the hockey game. And that's huge for the Edmonton Oilers because we've not seen that in the past few years.
So the Oilers take it 6-5 in that play of the third line, no doubt about it. That's our adjustment of the game for Pro Drain Techs for peace of mind down the line. Leon Draisaitl gets 4 points tonight.
4 points.
Quiet 4-point game for Draisaitl.
Well, yeah, no. He had 4 points, but he also was plus two, played 26 minutes, and he took 30 faceoffs. So, I mean, it's as quiet as you can be. But we talked about it at the end of, I think it was the second period, how the Oilers' third line was creating offensive zone pressure. And they were the only line that had the puck in for long periods of time. And that the Draisaitl line was being opportunistic, where they would dart here and there, and all of a sudden they'd get a scoring chance. And that's what we saw them with tonight. It's they weren't creating as many long stretches in the offensive zone, but when there was a mistake, they pounced, and they got a great scoring chance. And then as the game got on, you saw they started to wear down the Ducks in the third period, and that's where they had a couple really good shifts. But they were stars. I mean, when you score six goals and your first line gets four of them, they did their job, and they were plus. So this was a night where their first and third lines were very, very good. Their second line had a very off night. And he eventually cost Yamamoto his spot in the lineup.
Yeah, Perlini got a look up there, and when people asked about that after the game, and you said, well, it'll probably happen at some point, but I don't know if we thought it would happen tonight. But, yeah,
well,
Perlini did get some time up there.
It was a game that Yamamoto hadn't been strong. And when a player is slow out of the game or in a game, is not having a wonderful night, usually the coaches will say, okay, well, but the last three games he's been excellent. But when a player like Yamamoto's gone, he's got one goal in his last 32 games now. There is not that, okay, he started slow tonight, but he's got that great resume of games one through two, or one and two, or the last 10 games have been great. Yamamoto hasn't. And he's been in penalty trouble. And probably lacking a little bit of confidence right now because things went so well for him this first time up when he came up at Christmas that one year. So sometimes maybe you take a step back, give someone else an opportunity, and make it simpler for Yamamoto. We're going to put you with a couple veterans on the fourth line for a couple periods. You'll sit and watch from the bench a little bit. And when you get out there, the expectations aren't as high because a fourth line player is not expected to go out and score goals. A second line player is.
We set the line before the game at 79.5 for the total shots on goal in the game. And it does come in under 73 total shots.
But I say that's a but. I was not expecting there to be 11 goals. If this was a better goaltended game and there was only six goals, there'd be five or six more rebounds. That would have got us over.
All right. So 73 total shots. It was 37-33, the final shots on goal tonight in favor of the Oilers. So Rob and Capilano win Set the Line and a $100 River Cree and Resort gift card. Excitement, bet on it. River Cree Resort and Casino.
Yeah, again, though, I think, and Dave Tippett referenced it, I think too many shots or too many opportunities against for the Edmonton Oilers tonight. They have the ability to score goals, but as we know, this is a regular season. These are times where you can fix things in your game. They certainly are going to want to fix defensively. That's three games in a row with over 37 shots against. That's too many.
Yeah, and the Ducks give up a lot of shots as well.
Well, the Ducks just aren't as good a hockey club. Yeah. That's why they give it up.
Well, and speaking of big mistakes, and I mean, look, he's the backup goalie, but like, that's a huge mistake in my mind by Stolarz to let in that goal from Bouchard.
Well, he cheated off his post, which I don't know why, because there was no real play being made.
Right.
He's a veteran goaltender that you need. I mean, you need a save on a great opportunity. You certainly need a save on one that can't go in.
Isn't even a shot.
It wasn't a shot. And the thing is, the Anaheim Ducks came into Edmonton on the second of back-to-back games, and they're missing one of their young stars, didn't play tonight, McTavish. And they scored five goals. That should be enough for them to win a hockey game.
Yeah.
So you don't want to pin it on a goaltender or on one player, but Dallas Eakin's team played well enough to get 2 points. They just didn't get the saves they needed.
Well, I thought they worked hard.
Yeah,
Steele came in and he scores two goals.
And an absolute beautiful goal too.
He had a great game. Zegras is very talented. He's going to be a great player. They looked quick to me.
Yep. Silvenberg played really, really good. And that was the best. And I've seen, not live lately, but I've seen Getzlaf play last year some games on TV and the last few years. That, I thought, was the best I've seen Getzlaf play in a long, long time. He was engaged, making plays, physical, winning faceoffs when he had to. So, yeah, no, it was Anaheim played well. They worked hard, played well, probably deserved a better fate than they got.
Well, but another part of their game plan was not to take penalties. And they were shorthanded six times, and the Oilers scored twice, and Anaheim only had one power play, and it was 0-for-1. They took two penalties on the same play in the first period. That gave the Oilers a 5-on-3.
And in all honesty, there should have been another one later in the game where there was a delayed call. There should have been a second penalty called on that one. It should have had 2 5-on-3s. The same way. I think the ref got a little gun-shy on the second one, though.
And for the second game in a row, a relatively rare penalty is closing the hand on the puck. I mean, Hyman did it last game, and at full speed, I thought, oh, no, he didn't. And then on the replay, he did. And then same thing tonight. I thought, oh, really? And then on the Lindholm actually caught it tonight and then gave it a little juggle up in the air to get it away from the Oilers pressuring him.
It almost like he was going to put it down and then saw the Oilers coming and turn my hand over and flip it up a little bit so it goes over top of him. And that was the problem, because a player was coming at him and he pushed it past him.
Yeah.
If he would have caught it, every player catches it.
If it goes straight down, they won't call
every it. Player catches it if you bring it down quickly. But if you use your hand to move the puck by the defender, they're going to call it every time. And yeah, you and I will go, 60, 70, 80 games without seeing one, and we've seen two and three.
All right, so the Oilers win at 6-5. Of course, we are happy to hear from you tonight on the hotline presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way, 780-496-0063. We'll get to some of your feedback and post-game reaction from Koskinen, Bouchard, Draisaitl, and Cassian as we move along. Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on 630 CHED.
I out of his own end. Raquel will drop it to Zegras. Comes up to center, has to dump it in. Puck rims. Raquel off of his skate to Getzlaff. He'll get it out to Zegras. He'll shoot it. Pad save. Oh, the rebound. Koskinen got it too with the right pad. And the puck cleared out.
Mikko Koskinen, couple big saves with a minute 37 to go. Our saves of the game for Reface Magic. Transform your kitchen with ease. See the magic at refacemagic.ca. Koskinen, 20 saves on 21 shots. He's the winner, the winning goalie tonight, even though he did not start the game. Smith tweaked something about halfway through the second period. We'll see how he's doing. He's going to get looked at tomorrow. Oilers win 6-5 over the Anaheim Ducks. 780-496-0063 is the Certainty hotline. We have Robert standing by. Hey, Robert, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Quite well.
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit, I think some of the plays that were made tonight, I found on the back end that was a little bit concerning, especially in the first half of the game. And we heard Dave Tippett touch on that a bit, but I thought in the second half of the game they were a lot better. They cleaned it up, but that third line tonight, that's the best game they played, I think, by far.
No, I agree. I thought the third line, although I think the third line's been good in every game. I think they've been a difference maker in all the games so far this year. They were good in preseason. So it's the expectation was high for the third line when they brought in Fogle and Ryan, and I think they've matched or exceeded the expectations.
Yeah. But, and I guess I want to touch a little bit just quick here on that Yamamoto getting demoted, if you want to call it that, down to the fourth line. I think... I personally like the move because Yamamoto, his confidence is definitely low. I think he can see it, and I think he seemed a little bit, I don't know, I wouldn't call it afraid, but I think he seemed a little bit more timid tonight, and like he wasn't really getting in on guys. And
the word is hesitant. I think he's hesitant right now in his game, and I think that's just because the confidence isn't where it has been in the past. And when you're on the second line playing with great players and you got one goal in 32 games and you're a young player, confidence would drag a bit.
Thanks, Robert. We appreciate it. 780-496-0063. Kevin's up next. As I mentioned, we have more post-game reaction from the Oilers as well as they outscore the Ducks. Crazy one at Rogers Place tonight. 6-5 is the final. Back after the news and weather, Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on 630 CHED.
Global news at 10:30. Good evening. I am David Bowles. Right now at Edmonton, we are sitting at 4 degrees. We'll see the low tonight touching at about 3. As we take a look at your COVID-19 numbers for today, we saw 531 new cases confirmed in Alberta on this day, 103 of which came from the Edmonton zone. 12 more deaths also attributed to COVID in the province. Now, the CEO of Alberta Health Services says so far, employees of AHS has taken up their vaccine policy quite well. 92% of them have submitted full proof of vaccination, 7% have not, 1% claiming accommodation. Since introducing this policy, Dr. Vernie Yu says 61 employees have resigned, 31 of whom were in clinical care environments, 11 registered nurses in that.
Overall, this tells us that there's very broad support for the mandatory vaccine policy. These are impressive numbers, and we're extremely grateful to all of those who have submitted their proof of vaccination. We stand by the policy, and it will be fully implemented.
Yu says NAHS staff not in compliance with this policy will be put on an unpaid leave of absence. Now, the premier today, Jason Kenney, he opened up on the results of yesterday's elections, and he doesn't see them as a referendum on his government. Jason Kenney says he respects the choices the voters ended up making.
We'll work with those who were elected, and once again, I'd like to thank all candidates who ran.
Kenney says it's key that municipal politics or kept from becoming a partisan affair. We're taking a look now at your 6:30 Ched weather. Partly cloudy conditions today, and we'll see a low of 4 overnight. Tomorrow, some cloud condition and a high of 13. Thursday, we'll see some sun at 9, and on Friday, some sun. Daytime high looks to be about 12 degrees. Right now in Edmonton, 4. I'm David Bowles. Next scheduled newscast at 11 on 6:30 Ched.
The puck to Nurse, to McDavid on the left, down low, Nugent Hopkins walks it in front, it goes off a skate, McDavid to Draisaitl, scores! Leon Draisaitl with the one-timer, and the Oilers are up 3-2.
First of two for Draisaitl tonight, that was career goal number 200, it gave Edmonton a 3-2 lead in the final minute of the first period, came on a two-man advantage, the Oilers power play continues to click. 2-for-6 tonight. It is 5-for-12 on the season. The Oilers hang on to beat Anaheim 6-5 at Rogers Place. 780-496-0063. We have Adam standing by. Good evening, Adam. Go ahead.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Quite well.
This question is more for Brown, I guess. I'm not sure your hockey background, Reed, but when you're able to play a game and make mistakes such as the Oilers did tonight and know that you're going to come back and win, like, you know that you got something special. And I just kind of want to hear Brown's take on that from all the the great teams that he played with. That has to go through the room and make you feel special.
Well, this Oilers team's a confident team, and they feel that they're never out of any game because they have the ability to score. They feel they feel they're three lines deep when it comes to offensive ability, and they feel they have a fourth line that they can play now that they haven't had in the past. So they know that if on an off night, they have the ability to win hockey games. And Nugent Hopkins talked about it, that after 40 minutes, they talked in the dressing room. They felt it had been a sloppy 40 minutes, but if they got back to basics, they could come back and win this hockey game. In the past, if the Oilers had a sloppy night like this, you know, it would be 6-3, 7-3 for the opposition. So, yeah, this is a good hockey club. That there's improvements that are needed. There's things they have to work on. But they have a team that's good enough to overcome mistakes on most nights. The problem for the Oilers is, and we've seen in the past when they get into the playoffs, if those mistakes are big with the better teams, they've had problems. So this is an 82-game, an 82-game where they assess what they have and how they can take that next step. This is a playoff hockey club. And now how can they take the next step in the playoffs? And that's by improving through the 82 games.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I would say, Rob, and you and I have talked about this in the past, certainly there are things to criticize and pick apart about the Oilers tonight and even in the first two games. But the good teams, the teams who finish, you know, whatever, top two in the division, the better teams in the NHL, they can win with their B games. Sometimes even C games. So, yes, was this a beautiful game by the Oilers? No, but I mean, you kind of referenced it. We've seen a lot of years where the Oilers weren't very good, and you think, okay, they're up 3-2, they're not too bad. Oh, they gave up two quick goals halfway through the second, and then it would be lights out. They'd never score again. They still were able to win this game.
Well, a great example are the two teams playing tonight. The Oilers are a team that many expected to be in the top 10 in the National Hockey League to fight for a division title, if not a conference title. The Anaheim Ducks most have out of the playoffs.
Well, the roles are flipped from about 5 years ago.
But in this game, the Oilers had a sloppy game and found a way to win. The Anaheim Ducks came in and played a good game and found a way to lose. And that's what we've seen in the past with the Oilers. They could play well, but they weren't good enough to win. And right now the Oilers can play poorly, but they are good enough to win because they have the talent.
Against
teams
down teams, yeah.
Well, middle and below. So I think that's what we saw tonight. Anaheim are going to be disappointed that they can throw five up on the road and not even come out of it with a point. That's because good teams find ways to win, poor teams find ways to lose.
Would you start Bouchard with Nurse next game?
Yeah, I would. He's earned it. I've always been a believer that you go with you reward players that play well. And if players have an off night, then you move them back down. And I wouldn't be shy of putting Yamamoto, starting him lower in the lineup, on the fourth line. I mean, it's not, I don't believe after one game off night that you switch everything up. I think you can switch it in the game, but then you go back to normal for the next game. It's been 32 games for Yamamoto. Not all of them have been poor, but he snake bit. And the pressure continues. I've been in the top six in a National Hockey League where you're expected to score, and you go through slumps. It weighs on you. It's not, you don't just leave it at the rink. It goes home with you. It's there when you're sleeping at night, when you wake up in the next morning, when you read the newspaper, you're always thinking about it because your expectation as a player is to score goals. So if you put him down on the fourth line for a game or two, the expectation is there and you get back to simple, basic things. And so I'd be fine with having a different second line because it hasn't been good this year in three games. Hyman's been good. The line has not. And for Bouchard, Tyson had a tough one tonight. Again, Bouchard played well. Give him an opportunity because you want to see going forward if he's capable of playing top 2 minutes. This was just one game against Anaheim. Now you got to go on the road. So now go on the road and see if he's able to do it there too.
Okay, we'll get to a couple more phone calls in a couple of minutes here, but we want to go back down to the Hall of Fame room at the podium. Leon Draisaitl and Evan Bouchard.
Leon, obviously the wins that matters the most, but maybe a little sloppy defensively or loose, according to your head coach early. Would that be fair? What did you guys maybe change in the last half of the game?
I think that's obviously true. You don't want to give up five goals ever. That means you got to scramble offensively to win a game. You know, we don't want to be a team like that. Obviously, the 2 points are big, no question about it. We needed that, but there's lots of things that we can do better defensively, and we'll work on it and get better at it.
Zach Kassian seems to be a guy that really flourishes with the fans. He's back, and he's been huge in his two games for you.
Yeah, he's been great. Both games, I thought, especially that whole line, they've been really, really good. I thought maybe... consistently, maybe our best line. They're creating, they're skating, they're getting the pucks in and doing the little things right. So they've been a big, big help for us and a big line for us.
Evan, the minutes that you're playing they're kind of creeping up there. You're out there in defensive situations, killing penalties. How much are you kind of? After how much watching you did last season, how much are you relishing all these minutes you're getting here?
I just want to play my game, not really focus too much on the minutes. I just want to play a hard, strong game so that in those crucial minutes you can play.
Feel like their faith in you in all different situations is growing? You feel that trust from the coaching staff?
I think so, yeah. I think, it's just hard work, and you really have to... embrace wherever they put you, whatever role it is, and that's what I'm doing now.
Evan, can you describe your goal, one-handed shot, wound up in the net?
Yeah, I honestly still don't know how it kind of went in, but I'll take it.
And then you also hit the goalie in the face with your shot. That was a tough one for Stallers.
I guess that one I kind of just tried to lean into it. Unfortunately, it hit him in the head, but glad to see he was okay.
Thank you.
Leon, there seems to be a real likability factor with this team. The new guys who've come in, the veteran guys with them, Puljujarvi and some of the others. Do you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. We've added a couple amazing human beings in the first place to our group, and obviously they're really good hockey players that comes along with it. So we've added a lot of character to our group, which is big. You need that. You need those characters in your room. So all the guys that have been added or that are new, they've done a tremendous job of helping our team win, and we obviously need them to continue that.
And what do you see from the outside coming into this group?
I think it's just a great group. Everyone's getting along with everyone, tight group, and in the end, everyone wants the same thing. Everyone wants to win, and I think that's what makes us successful.
Leon, Mikko Koskinen came in a really tough spot halfway through a game, stopped 20 of 21. What did you see from your goaltender coming in a spot like that?
I don't think it's ever easy to come in, cold into a game like that. Thought he did a great job, responded really well. Made big stops for us when we needed them to kind of keep us in it. So he was really good tonight.
Hi, Leon. You play a U.S. team tonight, and tomorrow you go on a roadie into the United States. It's a lot different from what you've been used to over the last year and a bit. Is it kind of fresh and exciting to get back to the full NHL schedule?
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting to go on the road. It's exciting to see different teams going up against. So I think we're all looking forward to this road trip. It's going to be fun. A couple hard games, but yeah. We're ready for it. We're excited, and Jesus, and yeah, like I said, we're excited.
Yeah, well, of course, the Hall of Fame room right on a big window right on 104th Avenue, so the fans chanting and making some noise as the Oilers players and coaches do their availabilities. So yeah, pretty excited after the win, 6-5 tonight over the Anaheim Ducks. 780-496-0063. We have Robin on the Certainty Hotline. Hey, Robin, go ahead.
Hey guys, after listening to Evan, I wanted to ask you guys a little bit about him. Like, do you think he's ready to play some big minutes with Darnell Nurse? And I know we signed Barry to a one-year deal to play that spot, but to me it seems like Bouchard and Nurse might be the future of this defense corps, and I think the two of those guys need to get the minutes together and play as much as possible.
Yeah, well, Barry's on a three-year deal now, remember. It was the one year for last year, and now he's on a three. But how do you see that, Rob? I mean, I assume it would still be some splitting time there.
Well, Bouchard's still a young kid, and he had a strong game tonight. But there's going to be nights that get tougher. There's going to be games where you play against, the Winnipegs, the St. Louis's, the Vegas, bigger, heavier teams. And there's still a learning experience for Bouchard. If they were to throw him into the top pairing and say, all right, we're going to live and die with you, I mean, it could be a confidence problem for him as the games go by. And he's not always going to have a starring night. So Barry's a good defenseman. Barry led the National Hockey League defense and scoring last year. He's a big part of the number one power play in the league the last 2 years. I think they're going to be interchangeable. I think there's going to be times where Bouchard will get more minutes, and there's going to be times where it's going to be tough on the young player, and they're going to shelter him a little bit. But they're going to give him more and more opportunities to see what he's capable of doing. And I think that what they've seen throughout Bouchard's entire hockey career, every time he's had an opportunity to step up in a big moment, he's done that. His next job is to try and do that at the National Hockey League level.
Yeah, they're pretty high on him. They talked about him in the preseason. They didn't pull back on any expectations.
No.
Ken Holland said it. Dave Tippett called him an X factor on the blue line. So they trust him. They're using him more as a penalty killer.
Yep.
And I think he's been okay in that regard. And look, the knock on Barry, and we know what it is. I mean, we see it sometimes, mm-hmm. is that there are times he struggles in his own end. And I would think tonight was one of those nights.
Yeah,
it's not every game.
No. No,
he's an offensive defenseman.
Yeah, most
if offensive, you had to define.
Yeah, most offensive defensemen, they're called that because their defense isn't as strong.
They're all round defensemen. They do both.
Exactly. And it's nice to have a right-handed option that if Barry is having an off night, you got someone you can put up there and play. Because they don't want to move CeCe and Keith. They want that as their second pairing. So it's going to be Barry and Bouchard. They're going to flip-flop here and there. The one thing I would like to see, and tonight's the first time we've seen it, and it's rare, is where if the first power play unit has had an extended shift, throw your second unit out there. And tonight we saw the second unit score a goal. The Nurse-Bouchard pairing on the back end. Bouchard's shot is a weapon.
Mm.
And we saw that firsthand when he hit the goalie in the head and just about knocked him out. I think that that's something that can be used more than it has been. To get them some, it's a confidence builder for the players that go out there. There's too many times the second power play unit when the coach is, okay, you guys are up, and they roll their eyes like, yeah, right, we're up. There's zero chance we're getting out there. But throw them out every once in a while, because we saw tonight they did score a big goal with the Cassian goal, and that was off a wonderful pass shot by Evan Bouchard.
Oilers went 6-5 over the Ducks. We will bring Ben on the open line. Hey, Ben, you're on with Rob and Reed. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I won't ask the rhetorical question. How are you guys doing? yeah, just real quick. I really feel that they should have started Koskinen tonight. Regardless of Smith's performance tonight. I mean, there's clearly defensive flounders and whatnot, but Bouchard's stick late in the third was key. You can't have Bouchard playing top-pairing minutes yet. Obviously, you don't want to rush him. Yeah, I don't know. Overall, it was a good performance. There was a bit of sloppiness, but...
Just gut feeling for you that you would have gone with Koskinen?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, Dave Tippett talked about it. They said that their plan at first was to start Koskinen, but Smith had played so well in their first two games, and they wanted to start the season 3-0 going into the road trip. And it's hard to argue with it on the play that Smith had had through his first two starts. He was exceptional. So
he has been.
I can understand.
Sure.
I can absolutely understand why they went with Smith. And then they would have started Koskinen in Arizona, which they're going to anyways. But yeah, I think it would be hard pressed to fault throwing your starter in, who probably would. I don't know what he came in with as a save percentage, but it would have been in the 920s or 925 coming into tonight's game. Smith had been excellent, so. He's your starter. He's your number one guy, and they went with him and just didn't work out. Unfortunately for him, didn't get to finish the game.
Yeah, Smith was 953 coming into tonight. By the way, John Gibson's 961.
and think about the 961, too. It's not like he's playing for a Vegas or a Tampa or, you know, we're talking a great defensive hockey club. They give up a lot of shots, and not only shots, but quality shots. He's that good, Gibson. And... you just worry about his health, as when you're playing that much and you're going to break down eventually. And we've seen over the last few years, Gibson has had some injury problems. He right now is fighting for a spot to be the U.S.'s starting goaltender at the 2022 Olympics. He's that good.
All right, so the Oilers win 6-5 over the Ducks. Just go over some of the stats here, Rob. We try to pick out some stats that stand out. You mentioned it, Draisaitl 20 out of 29 in faceoffs, 69%. The Oilers as a team, 58% in the circle, basically because of Draisaitl, because most other guys were right around even or had a tough night. Nuge was 4 out of 12, so Draisaitl again, excellent in the faceoff circle. He had 4 points. He was plus 2. Ice time, well, McDavid played 25:42. Nurse played 27:02. The fourth line still didn't play as much as I thought they would. Turris played 8 minutes, and he did get a minute on the power play. Perlini, even after being elevated a bit, played 8:46, and Shore played 8:35. Now, Shore and Perlini are not going to get on the power play, and the Oilers had 6 of them tonight. I thought, you know, I think they were, I would think anyway, they would have hoped those guys would maybe get around 10 or 11 as opposed to around 8.
Well, the minutes they're losing are the minutes that are going to Draisaitl and McDavid. Both of them played 26 minutes. I think in a perfect world, Dave Tippett would hope that, you know, if they can get them 21 minutes, that'd be good. So that's 5 minutes off there, and that would go right to your fourth line. But when the game is in the balance, when you're trailing going into the third period, if the Oilers are winning going into the third period, the fourth line plays more. If they're trailing, well, obviously you've got to get your best players out there more. So your fourth line is usually the line that loses ice time. And any player that has ever played the game will tell you a rotation of three lines is more fun and more conducive to creating opportunities than a rotation of four lines. So when they're rolling three lines in the third period, there's going to be three guys that are on the bench. And tonight, instead of Perlini, ended up being Yamamoto as one of those players.
This was not the only 6-5 game in the NHL tonight. As we update the scoreboard for Edmonton Trailer, looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. Minnesota is 3-0. The Jets are 0-2-1. Minnesota wins at 6-5 in overtime.
Yeah, and a weird finish. As the Jets were up 5-4, they had an open net opportunity, and Scheifele scored into the open net to make it 6-4 for the Jets. And for some reason, Kyle Connors went offside. And he was on the exact opposite. There was not involved in the play at all. And he just went over the line too quickly. The call, goal gets called back. Minnesota ties it up late. And then Minnesota scores on a power play in overtime to win the game. So Winnipeg loses a great opportunity to pick up 2 points. And Minnesota has another good start to the season.
How about Buffalo? 3-0. They beat the Canucks 5-2. Canucks are 1-2-1.
And I'm going to predict it right now. The Buffalo Sabres do not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think.
But a good start.
At some point, they're going to win 3-0.
You know what? And just a little side note on Buffalo. I do not understand the whole Eichel thing. I don't know how a player or a person can't control what they do with their body. And Eichel doesn't. The Buffalo Sabres get to decide what kind of surgery he has. I don't think that's right. I don't know why it's in the CBA or why it's in the rules, but you should be able to control what you do with your own body. And he doesn't. And now the Buffalo Sabres and Eichel, this is year two of an absolute soap opera.
The Canadians are 0-4. They get pounded 5-0 by the Sharks. The Panthers are 3-0, 4-1 win over the Lightning. Devils win at home 4-2 against the Kraken. Dallas in a shootout, sneaking past the Penguins 2-1. Capitals outscore the Avalanche 6-3. Ovechkin got his fourth. Red Wings win at home 4-1 against Columbus. Islanders win on the road 4-1 against Chicago, who are 0-3-1. Predators a 2-1 win over the Los Angeles Kings. Baseball playoffs, Dodgers 6-5 win against Atlanta. Atlanta leads the series 2-1. Houston pounding Boston 9-2. That series is tied 2-2. All right, you'll hear from Koskinen and Cassian when we get back. Oilers take down the Ducks 6-5. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Arvey's in front of the net. Nurse pass across. How about a one-timer? Directly in front. Scores! Zach Cassian with a redirect. And the Oilers have tied the game at 4.
Zach Cassian with 2 tonight, along with the winning goaltender, Mikko Koskinen. Oilers beat the Ducks 6-5. Here's Cassian.
What it's like for you in the game that you try and play to have fans cheering you on out there, they're here cheering you on again, just what that means to your game?
Yeah, I've been answering these questions since we stopped having fans. I think I speak for the whole league. If you look around the league, everyone, I think they're showing a different appreciation now that we have them back and we played without them for so long. I think as a team, as an organization throughout the league, you realize how much you miss them, how much they have an impact on the game, essentially, with the energy they bring.
Wasn't a pretty game. I mean, you guys obviously gave up quite a bit, but you get the win. Is that one of those ones where good teams just find a way to figure it out and pull points out of it?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't one of our best efforts. I think big third period by our group. The second period was pretty ugly, but we found a way to win, like you said, and I think good teams find ways to win. In the past years, we would have found ways to lose that game, but tonight we found a way to win. Whenever you can start the year 3-0, it's a positive step. Now we got to bring that energy and bring it on the road.
Zach, coming into training camp, you were critical of your play last season, saying you wanted to be better. You get an assist on Saturday, 2 goals tonight. Can you just talk about where your confidence level is at after having missed the opening game?
Yeah, you never want to miss the home opener, but I think collectively as a line, Ryan, Fogues have been great. We read off each other great. We're playing a good North game right now. We're playing heavy. We're skating. We're hard to handle in the ozone, and I think if we continue that and bring our work ethic, we're going to be a tough line to handle all year.
Mikko, obviously not an easy, predicament to be in, having to come in halfway through the game. Can you talk about your mindset coming into the game and how you fared overall, how you felt like you did?
Like I told before the season started, I just want to have fun, and obviously it's not easy going, and you don't want to see like the Schmitty going down, but when I went in there, I just wanted to have fun, and that's my mindset.
When you are the backup goalie for the night, what's your mindset in warm-up, knowing that anything could happen and maybe a situation like today arises and you get called?
Obviously, you don't want anything to happen because it's basically you're sitting on a bench like 1.5 hours and then doesn't face any shot in warm-up, so it's just hope that everything goes well and you don't have to play. But, you know, sometimes bad things happen, and today was one of them.
Zach, you're known as a guy that's got a big personality and that sort of thing. There seems to be a real likability factor with the new guys and the old guys and the mix of this team. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, I think we obviously had a lot of new players this year. I think whenever you get out of the gates on a good start, 3-0, I think that just helps your team camaraderie. I think you bring in guys, everyone has a defined role that we brought in. They're meshing so well with the team, and everyone gets along, and I think that's very important. You spend every day together, more than your family during the hockey season, so it's important that you like each other and you get along, and I think right now we're obviously getting along really well, but the play on the ice is reflecting that as well.
Zach, how much, I don't know, how much, because you don't see Carolina a lot, that you knew about Fogle's game. It just seems that you guys really mesh off each other quite well, and you complement one another, of course, with Derek Ryan, kind of the middle guy. But can you talk about you and Fogle's style and why it's worked so well together, especially in the offensive zone?
I think as we play the same game, I think we're very direct. Well, that's when we're at our best. When we're being direct, we're chipping pucks. But I think the big thing with us is when we chip pucks, we can get it back because we have speed and we can make it tough on D. And I think once we get down there, we have ability to make plays and bring it to the net and create havoc. And I think when you have two guys that do the same on the line, but then you have Ryan that's so smart and cerebral and takes care of us, because sometimes we over forecheck and do those things. But I think as a line, like I mentioned earlier, we just feed off each other really well.
And you mentioned the second period was kind of ugly. What didn't you like about it as a group? What were you guys doing this wasn't successful in the second specifically?
We just turned pucks over. They made it hard. You got to give them credit too, but we were a little careless with the puck. We weren't transitioning as fast as we want. We had some D-zone shifts where we weren't closing them off. We were kind of giving them too much time and space. Obviously, Meeks came in there and held the fort down. We had a chance to regroup. We talked about it, and we fixed what we needed to fix, and we came out with a win.
Hi, Zach. I just wonder if you could speak to this team's to hit the gas when it needs to. You don't. It's not something you want to rely on, but when you're in a situation where, like, hey, we need three third period goals, it's nice that you guys have the guys that can get out and do it.
Yeah, I think you never want to put yourself in that situation too much, but it is the NHL. The other team's trying to win too, but I think when you have the star power that we have, you guys have seen it over and over again, our power play is so dangerous that we can win games if we figure out how to play on a consistent basis the way we should. And I think that tonight was a perfect example of that. Obviously, our PP was big, but I think in the third period, we came out and we were getting zones. We were playing the right way. And from that, the energy in the crowd and whatnot, and we kind of slowly started to take over the game.
So when you're sitting in the room in the second period, are you kind of figuring that you've got this? Confidence must be pretty high at this point.
Yeah, we talked about it as a group. Miko obviously bailed us out there multiple times. I think the majority, 99% of our team, they played in the league long enough now where we know where we're not playing up to our potential and as a team. And I think one thing we've done this year is we've held each other accountable, and we've been able to fix things on the go, and you're going to need that throughout the year.
That is Zach Kassian and Mikko Koskinen, two key guys in the Oilers' 6-5 win tonight over the Anaheim Ducks. Get more on the game on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Our next game broadcast on 630ched is Thursday, 6 o'clock face-off show. The game will start at 8 as the Oilers visit the Coyotes. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here at Rogers Place, and to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer at 630ched. We've been in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Oilers take down the Ducks 6-5. Good night.
630ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630ched.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.